Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Guys, guess what?
What?
We've booked a live show. We've booked a Christmas show. It's on the 2nd of December at the Clapham Grand in London.
Oh, yay! My God. We're going to see each other's faces. We're going to see each other's bodies and so on. I'm just genuinely deliriously happy that we're going to see each other in the flesh, and hopefully we're going to see some of you as well. So tickets you can get from claphamgrand.com.
If you're not in London, then you can also buy tickets to watch on the stream.
Yeah, so anywhere in the world, it will be at 7 o'clock UK time. So whatever time that is in your country, it will be streaming live. And there's two shows. We're doing two shows. So it's going to be 2 hours of entertainment. Two fantastic guests. The second show will be a lot drunker than the first.
So wherever you are in the world, it's okay to get drunk, because it will be drinking time in London. Join us, please. Also, because of COVID, it is now a requirement that you have to buy two tickets at a time. Now, if you're like me and you like to go to shit alone, don't worry. We can hook you up with another person that's going on their own, pair you up, make sure that your personalities match. We'll do a full psych profile and we'll fit you together. How's that sound?
Do you know what? That sounds perfect. If you're like Taylor and your husband will no longer go to things with you, that's Clapham Grand, 2nd of December. Buy tickets online. Come to the live stream. It's going to be so much fun.
Christmas show.
Christmas show.
Christmas show. Twinkle, twinkle.
Longest ad ever.
Tickets you can get from Crapham Gland. Don't say that. The Crapham Gland.
Oh my God. New sponsor.
Drunk women solving crime. Drunk women. Drunk women solving crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name is Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
That's their only
literally their job. Fucking chickens and shouting in the mornings.
Yeah.
I'm desperately trying to think if an elderly person has ever wronged me.
Katie, I have to say a lot more work goes into bacon than you just suggested. There are a few more steps.
Pigs are as clever as a 3-year-old human.
Or a 28-year-old man.
Now it's time. Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. We're still recording remotely. We've still got a terrible government and we're still drunk. So today we are joined, it's been months, we are joined by comedian, writer and poet Sarah Khan.
Yay! Yay!
Woo!
Hello.
It sounds pathetic, like recording remotely when we're all like... It's not a great round of applause like when you're used to being on stage.
Yeah. Oh, come on. There's but three welcome. Of us.
Yeah, this is like a good night in Edinburgh for me. This And I had a double act. Just kidding.
Sarah, we ask one question. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yeah, I have. It's a bit of a weird one. So I used to be a waitress. I had this table of old ladies come in.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, right, I'm going to get a really big tip here. This is going to be amazing. So I gave them like the best service, starters, mains, desserts, all that. Made sure I checked in on them. They finished, gave them the bill, went off, came back, and they'd gone without paying the bill.
No.
Yeah, they literally left. And I thought, like, usually you expect that of like young kids, innit? But I was just like, what the fuck? And it ended up coming out of my pay packet.
No.
So yeah.
Oh, what kind of bullshit policy is that?
I know. But you know what I think happened? I think it's like they're all just old and senile, and I think
they might have forgot.
Yeah. Or they probably thought, oh no, we've paid, and then they never.
Yeah. Or they just count on people.
They can just ride that fine line, can't they? Those fucking bitches.
I mean, I kind of want to be this guy when I'm older. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of love this.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Did I forget to pay?
But I can't believe that came out of your pay.
Yeah, that's
I know it's bad. Yeah. I don't know if they can do that now, but yeah, this was a while ago, and
I know. I've worked for some dodgy people. Like, yeah, it's evil. It's evil.
Yeah,
that's mad as well. Particularly as you said, like starters, mains, dessert.
Wait, I gave them the best service, man. But do you know what? On the flip side, they're probably all dead now. So it's.
It wound up the way that it should.
Yeah. One of my worst waitressing jobs was in this pub, and the person running it was this psycho that everyone was terrified of. And like, he was so rude to the customers that they had these little old people coming in and they wanted to eat in the like beer garden. And so the waitress that they were talking to was very nicely saying, oh, you have to leave your card behind the bar. And they were like, what? I don't understand. Why do you need to keep my card? And like, she was really being polite to them, trying to explain it was the policy. And he would just overheard, because he was just always loitering, ready to catch someone out. And he marched over to them and shouted in the customers' faces, we don't know if you're going to steal from us, do we? So that's why. And just shouted at them. And then like, literally, he stormed off in a huff, because he's like, just was a psycho that hated people. And then they just like went, I've never been so insulted in my life. But like, actually, then he's not out of pocket when these people do a
run. You can't trust people as well.
You can't trust them.
Oh man. I worked in this is just reminding me of like waiting on old people. I worked in a country club. Do you guys, you're familiar with the American country club?
Every is it like John a golf club?
Yeah.
I've seen them in films.
Yeah. And it's exactly as it's portrayed in every like 80s rom-com, except this one, nobody was under 75. Like, it was just the oldest group of people.
They can't even play golf.
I don't know what they did. They were always just eating. So yeah, I don't think anybody was like, doing the sports part of it. Oh, but God, the entitlement was crazy. Like, the guy I remember the most, he sort of like did the like come hither finger, and I'm like, oh yeah, he's gonna give me a tip, this is great. Because same thing, I just waited on, like, I did the perfect, this is like day three when I thought that they would tip, and he's just like, hey honey, can you put my eye drops in? And I was like, I get paid minimum wage for this.
Yeah, did you not, you didn't do it in the end?
No,
I would have done it. Just asked for some money. Been like, yeah, that's extra.
Me. Yeah. Like, do one eye and then be like, 20 quid to do the other one.
Yeah. You want your depth perception back, pay up.
It just wasn't as wise as I am now.
I'm desperately trying to think if an elderly person has ever wronged me. Because you guys I've never been a waitress, actually.
Multiple. And that's, you've never been a waitress?
You've never waited tables? Oh, man.
And we're just talking about old women. We haven't even got onto the old men that kept grabbing my arm.
Oh, no.
Ugh. People are the worst.
Lots of grabbing. Yeah, I used to get grabbed because that's the only way to get somebody's attention. Yeah. Who's hearing yes.
I hate the clip. The clip.
Oh, fuck the clip, mom.
Yes.
Wow.
Evil.
Mm. Oh, it's so bad.
Miss. But- Miss. Miss. There was one guy that did speak, Miss. Miss. And we just ignore him because he would keep going like a car alarm. Miss. Miss.
And I've only not been a waitress just because I got a job at like Nationwide on the counters like when I was like 16. So I kept that job until I was like 24.
Right.
I don't want people thinking like, oh, Hannah's never had a job in the service industry. But yeah, we had lots of old people come in there, but they were mostly like quite funny. And I think it's because they knew I had their address.
Because you were giving them money.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They knew if there were any of them smirking, oh, we didn't pay for a meal just now.
Yeah.
Can we catch them in the bank?
Man, I'm obsessed with this. So was there four old ladies? Was it all old ladies, Sarah?
Yeah, there was five of them.
Five of them a meal for five.
Oh. It was because I thought I was going to get a sick tip. Mm. And to not even get a tip, but to not pay at all.
To be out of pocket.
I know.
I'd love to know if it was an accident or if they just go around doing this.
Yeah, I know. I know there was, someone was telling me about, there's a thing that like couples do where they go to restaurants and they do the fake proposal, and then they make a living out of just getting free champagne, free meals. Because obviously, like if you go to a fancy restaurant and do it, they're like, "Oh, it's on the house. Congratulations, guys! Here's a bottle of champagne or whatever." You know what I mean? And then they'll go around and do it. Because this guy, he said he saw this couple do it. Obviously, very romantic. Everyone's like, "Oh, like clapping, amazing, congrats!" And then he went out like a couple of weeks later, and he saw them again do it again.
Oh my god!
And then he was saying to his girlfriend, he was like, "They've done that before," and she's like, "Shut up! It's romantic. Just leave them alone." And they had a massive row. He's like, "No, I'm serious. They did it. I've already seen them do this."
Wow.
Mm. So I might try and start doing that.
Times
are hard at the moment. You know what I mean?
So. That's
We should need some like wedding capers.
Yeah, I want free steak. You know what I mean?
There's always a new scam that I've never heard of. Like, it's amazing.
Mm.
Never heard of that one.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense though, doesn't it? It's just kind of like, I remember I got engaged recently and we went for a meal afterwards and we were both like way too embarrassed to tell the waiter or anything. We were just like, and also I was too fat for my ring, so I couldn't even wear it. So what we ask on this podcast is we ask, like, if you could have those, I mean, we've already sort of ascertained they're probably dead, but if you could have those five old women in front of you now, what would you say to them or do to them?
What should they look? Pay me, bitch. At the end of the day, you lot don't even work. You get your pension every month? Yeah. Like, come on, I'm on minimum wage. Just give me some money.
Yeah.
And then I probably wouldn't use violence because they're old.
That's
so
true.
Younger, I probably. Yeah. You've got to have a little bit of respect. I'll just demand my money. I'd steal their purse or something.
Yes. They can't stop you. Take out what they owe. A little bit for your trouble.
Exactly. And they're not going to run after me, are they?
Can you guys all remember the best tip you ever got? This, Hannah, this doesn't apply to you because obviously you got into banking at a very young age. But I feel like the reverse is true. Like, you always remember who screwed you over, but I definitely remember my best tip ever.
What did you get? Go on then, tell us the story.
Was it a packet of eye drops?
A little bit. Yeah.
I got free steroid cream.
I got nationalized health care. It was amazing. It was just this like huge family, and it was like this was still the country club. And they were around this huge table, and I had kind of nailed it that night, because I will admit I used to get drunk before my shifts and I didn't always remember people's orders, so I wasn't the best waitress.
Wow.
But this night, although I was kind of tipsy, I remembered everything, and he just like slipped me a 20. It was all very slick.
But did you have to share it? Did you have to pull your tips?
No, that wasn't a thing back then. Oh my god,
really?
We would have had like riots in the streets.
Oh, see, we had to share.
Well, and also in the US, I said minimum wage, like you get paid below minimum wage because they know you're gonna get tips.
You're counting on tips,
and you're supposed to declare those tips. Come on.
Ugh.
Anyway. Oh, come on.
I had my fun. So I had an evil waitressing pub job and then I had a fun waitressing pub job. My fun waitressing pub job was in this hotel and there'd be like events, there'd be like parties and weddings and stuff. And those were the best ones because people would order, I'd be behind the bar and they'd like order their round of drinks and then be in one for you. And I'd be like, I'm just going to keep the money.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Making like $2.50.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. The best thing as well when there's parties is at the end, if you're like cleaning up, there's always there's money on the floor. There's people always drop money, cigarettes. You could actually like there's so much you can find. Because people just get drunk and end up just chucking stuff on the floor, like all like losing.
People are just like it was fascinating because I went from this fun, happy party pub job, hotel job, to like, and quite quickly also I'd done this customer service answering the phone one. So I went from a job where it was your job to be shouted at by people having the worst day of their life to a job where people were so happy having the best day of their life celebrating. And it was just like, I like this job much more than that one. This is so extreme.
Sarah, what was your best tip?
My best tip? It was from this young guy who was clearly on like a first date or something. I think he just wanted to impress the girl because he tipped me like £20. And I remember looking at him just like, I don't think you really want to do this, do you? But I took it anyway. I was like, you're going to get your dick sucked tonight, so it's all good. I just looked at the girl, I just winked at her and I was like, just kept walking in it. I was like, I'm not going to argue, I'm just going to take the money. But it wasn't even good service. I gave him like pretty shit service, so I was happy about it.
And I'm sure he repeated that as well later that evening.
Yeah.
The only tip I ever got, which wasn't, it's not really a tip because you're not like allowed to take gifts from customers, not because
you stole from the bank.
Yeah. One for me, one for Nationwide. I remember I once did something for this woman and she was like a really nice woman. And I'd sort of like, she came in, she was like really worried about something and she needed to put some money into someone's account. So you're not supposed to look up account numbers, but I did. And I was like, I won't give you
protocol.
Well, sort of, you were kind of allowed to, and they sort of changed it.
Okay.
And it was a whole thing and she was a little bit upset. And I was like, right, I'm going to do it. But like, just don't tell anyone in the room, in the thing. And I was like, just keep it cool, keep it cool. And she's like, thank you. And then she came back about 40 minutes later with a box of chocolates for me. And I was like, dude, we're trying to be subtle. And then it wouldn't fit through the little box. So she had to get them out and pull them in. And I had to pull them out. And like, you know, like the bit in the bank where
God, a reverse heist.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, well, this isn't fun. And they're,
she had to take all the individual
roses. To individually give Hannah chocolates.
Yeah. And I was awesome. Just like, I literally, the one thing I said was, let's be subtle. She would be subtle. But
amazing.
What's the most money that you saw someone had in their account?
Ooh.
Oh, God. Well, actually, probably like, I think I saw someone with like over $1 million in one account.
Really?
Yeah, which was quite cool.
You should never have that much money. Like, even I know that from movies. Like, you should have that in investments and stuff. Like, you shouldn't have that much free cash.
Yeah.
Right?
Just like in the savings account.
Yeah, it wasn't in a current account or anything. But it was a very old man. So I did think about, you know, maybe marrying him for
for 2 weeks.
for a couple of weeks.
Like, one of my many fucking customer service phoning me up jobs was for like a bank, like a credit card for old people. It was like for Saga old people. And like people, like literally really old people would ring up and try and tell you their PIN number over the phone. Yeah. You had to go, stop, don't tell me that. Don't ever tell anyone that.
That's so adorable.
Yeah.
What were some of those PIN numbers? Can we?
Well, I did write them down, obviously, because minimum wage. No. Right.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
So today for our true crime, we are going way back in time. We're going to the 5th of September, 1379.
Whoa!
I know, right? I think it's the furthest back we've ever been.
Is that our earliest one yet?
I think it might be.
Ooh, record setter.
And it's the murder of Perino Mouet. Perino was a Frenchman. On that fateful morning, he was walking past a nunnery when his father saw someone push him to the ground, attack him, and before he could come to his rescue, his son was dead.
Oh.
So this case went to court and justice was served. They got the guy. But my first question is, who or indeed what killed Perino? I suggest thinking outside the box.
Do we know what country we're in?
France.
It's France.
France. And it's 13 what? 79.
1379.
Will that make a difference between like 1330?
So, just think outside the box that it might not be human.
So it's not a nun.
It's a bear.
A bear?
What's in France? Cheese.
Pizza, baguette, I don't know. It's not human.
Yeah.
Is it? I mean, is this a fact?
Ghost?
Yeah, like, is this a fact of the case? Or is it actually what it was blamed on? Because that's very different. Because it could be a ghost.
Or this is a fact.
It's a fact.
They went to trial. They got the guy in it. So it must be an actual real person.
Somebody had a bear as a pet. And that's who they got. Because you shouldn't own bears in the 14th century. There's one thing I know about the 14th century.
They really had bear fighting and stuff.
Well, this wasn't a bear, but it was a pig.
What?
Wait, so they took a pig to court?
My second question is, did you know they used to be able to take animals to court?
What the fuck?
I just found this out. Because I don't know this case, but I remember because obviously we just like Google, our Google searches must be the most fucked up things. I've been like, women who eat men, like just weird things to find a new kind of case for this. But I remember just finding out that fact, but I didn't read the case, so.
Well, can animals take you to court though as well? Because if that's the case, I think we should dig up David Cameron's pig.
Yes.
Because sure he'd want to be taking some assault charges for that one.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it?
Oh, like, my God.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I almost think that's an episode of Black Mirror, is like that the pig
animals
comes back.
Can sue us.
Yeah. Because, it's incredible. It's absolutely insane. Like, so rather than just looking at one case, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background on taking animals to court. Because they were proper trials. They had a judge, prosecutors, I know, right? Witnesses, defense attorneys for the animals.
Understand any of this.
Does the animal have to be in the courtroom? Like, is the pig there?
There's amazing drawings of, like, the pig. And
just gotten more boring as a society, haven't we?
Why did he kill the guy?
Well, this is the thing. So,
was he cruel to this pig?
No, I will go back to...
What was the defense?
Was the guy sleeping with his wife?
Do you know what? I'll go back to the pig, but for now, just to sort of just thinking about this whole thing happening of taking animals to court. So we're focusing primarily on Europe in these stories. It all started from as early as 824 and only relatively recently stopped in the grand scheme of things. So when do you think was the last time someone took an animal to court, if it's not Harvey Weinstein, like another animal?
1864.
Okay.
That would be very recent for ridiculous stuff. 1700s?
1700s?
Yeah, 1750, I'll say.
1890.
Do you know what? You were all pretty close. And they don't have an exact date for it, but it was around the 1850s. So around the 1850s. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
But this is also specific to Europe. And in Kazakhstan, Katya, a female brown bear, was imprisoned as recently as 2004 for mauling
someone.
Human
prison?
In a prison. And the interesting thing about the animals that were sent to prison back in the day, they would go to human prison.
They sent animals to prison.
Yeah, I know. It's
that's called a zoo. They're called zoos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did they not have zoos? And B, what the heck? I know there's so many ways to do cruelty, but still.
Yeah, like visitation. Could you buy like an annual pass?
Yeah. I know, it's completely bonkers. And also, like, when I was researching it, I was like, how did I not know this, like, the fact that this was going on as late as 1850. So back to the...
Well, especially a pig who we, you know, humans had domesticated, so they're stuck in a pen anyway, and they're like, you'll be in a smaller pen so you can think about what you've done.
And, like, people would, like, buy piglets from markets and feed them up and then kill them and eat them as bacon. Like, wouldn't they be like, it's a waste of food to put a pig in prison?
Well, it's so stupid as well, because, like, pigs eat humans, isn't it? Because that's what they used to do back in the day. So prisoners, they used to put them in and the pigs would eat them, innit? So if you put a pig in prison, they're just going to eat all the prisoners.
That's also a very good point.
Maybe that was the end game. But, Katie, I have to say a lot more work goes into bacon than you just suggested. There are a few more steps.
What, like, than killing a pig?
Yeah, it's so much more. But
what goes, what are the other steps?
You sound like you know a lot about it.
You have to cure it. You have to smoke it. Just saying.
You don't have to smoke it.
What is unsmoked bacon? This is the perfect time to ask this. Who buys it? What is it for? Why would you unsmoke bacon?
I don't eat pork anymore, but my husband prefers unsmoked bacon.
Wow.
I don't pretend to understand.
I always knew he was a pervert, but I rest
my case.
But actually, I mean, yeah, in answer to your questions, like, some of them would suffer capital punishment, so they'd be hung. They'd be, like, put on the docks. They would hang them in front
they
of
would
people.
Hang these fuck.
A pig. Oh. Yeah, I mean, it's
I mean,
very,
like,
very cruel.
I know I should be much more upset about all the humans in history that have been horribly mistreated, and I am. But, like, come on, this is ridiculous.
I know, it is ridiculous. So back to the murderous pigs in 1379, there were two herds of them. And as Perino walked past, one of the porklings, which is the name of a young pig, is that not adorable? Porkling.
Is anyone going to watch Babe after this?
Yeah. The porkling started squealing, and Perino was just walking past, but the sows, the female pigs, just thought that he was harming their baby, so they rushed him and they trampled him to death. Yeah,
what a way to go.
So I know, right?
It was self-defense in a way.
Well, yes, this is the thing. So these three pigs stood trial, and as we said, they were found guilty.
The same way that women would have. Like, you can just substitute women during that time, same result, same treatment.
Yeah, I don't think it was a particularly fair trial. And they were found guilty of the murder, but also the entire herd were also sentenced to death. Why do you think that was? Why would you put it on the entire herd?
Well, it can't be to teach the other herds a lesson. They
snitches,
don't know about genetics. Sorry, go on.
Snitches.
Oh, what?
If they're going to snitch, you know what I mean? Or if they're going to strike again, it might be in their blood to do it again. So you've got to kill off the whole herd, didn't you?
Okay, that's good.
There you go. So but again, it's this weird thing of, like, do animals have, like, a moral compass, and do they have, like, and no, like, ostensibly no. Apparently...
Well, pigs are very clever. Go on, sorry.
Well, no, pigs are very clever, but apparently it was their, with their cries and aggressive actions, the onlookers showed that they approved of the assault. Literally, because the other pigs were squealing.
Oh, boy.
Being a community in as one, protecting themselves...
Because the obvious joke was about, like, the testimony from the animals, but they literally counted that as a sort of testimony. Right?
Yeah, it was essentially, it was like they're egging them on. And I can't remember who said it earlier, but, like, does this not mean that somebody, like, an entire farmer's herd is now being killed?
And then everyone's got bacon sandwiches.
Well, it meant that basically the farmer wrote a letter to the judge and said, like, dude, this is my entire, like, livelihood.
Yeah,
maybe not
dude.
Using those words.
dude, not where's my pig?
But yeah, eventually they let the rest of the herd off, but the sows were hung.
So because he complained...
Yeah, because he was like, "What? You know, you're literally taking my livelihood."
They just got community service. They were just like sweeping the roads.
They've got to really promise not to do it again.
Did any of them get their GED while they were behind bars? Like, did they at least use the time?
Hey,
did
they improve
the library?
Pigs are as clever as a 3-year-old human
or a 28-year-old man.
Burn.
That's crazy. That's mad. But yeah, no, they are pretty smart. Yeah.
They're really smart. And dolphins are as clever as a 5-year-old human.
Mm, they have sex for pleasure.
Yes.
Oh. Well, having had a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, I mean, it's the same person, but she changed. I definitely prefer 5-year-olds, which is probably why I don't eat dolphins, but I do eat bacon.
Yeah, fuck 3-year-olds.
I wasn't a fan, but that's okay. That's by the by.
So we're in Europe in the Middle Ages. All of this stuff's going on. What animal do you think was most commonly taken to court? Who was the biggest dick?
Ooh.
Pigs.
Okay, we got pigs from Katie.
Is this still in, did you say the 1300s, yeah?
Well, just sort of Middle Ages, between like 1400.
I think like some sort of bird, you know, like rooster or like hens.
A rooster? Actually, people might have got annoyed with them in the mornings. Somebody had a rooster in the village that I live in, and somebody complained that it was waking up their kids, and then they had to take it to a farm to be killed.
The kids?
Oh, what? No, not the kids. But like some mums in the village complained.
Justice is served.
To these. But also, it wasn't like these people had chickens, and somebody dumped a rooster on their doorstep, and they were like, okay, what? I guess we have a rooster now. But this rooster was very loud, very early in the morning.
That's what they do. That's their only job.
Literally their job. Fucking chickens and shouting in the mornings.
Yeah.
And
what a shame.
Yeah. And then, but they took it. So like a few people were like knocking on this person's door going, hey, your rooster is waking up my kids really early and I'm just trying to sleep train and like it's really difficult.
That's like the most middle class thing I've ever heard in my life.
I mean, it is.
Excuse me, my rooster is being really loud in the morning.
Oh my God.
I mean, it really is.
Absolutely.
But
oh my God. And then like they took it to a farm where like they could be killed like in this nice way. So yeah, that is such a middle class ending.
The nice way is still like, but like they just chop its head off.
Yeah, but it's like they
it gets to run around for a bit after that. I know that about chickens.
Yeah. Drunk women solving
crime. Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Taylor, did you have a guess for the biggest dick in the animal world?
Well, okay, what popped into my head was horses, just because I would just picture a lot of people might be hurt by horses. But then
they're so useful to these people.
They're so
why
useful.
Are these people
why,
punishing yeah. everything that helps them?
Well, okay, so it was...
Oh, wait, I just remembered all of history. Continue.
It was pigs. Katie was right.
It was pigs.
Yes, and this was because it's interesting. Someone said earlier about the fact that they're penned in, but actually, in you know, back in the medieval times, they would be allowed to freely roam about the village.
Oh, they just roamed, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah. We've all seen a sort of a period drama where there's just a pig and one horse and carriage, and it's just a modern town, but they do that to make it look like it's old. So there's always a pig. And they were accused of chewing off humans' ears and noses, and accused of killing children. So one ate a child, it was kind of a baby, and was in extra trouble because he'd done it on a Friday. And in terms of religion, that's the worst thing you can do.
Eating children on a Friday, it's a no-no. Saturday's all right, but fucking hell. Yeah. Friday, no way.
Pick your day.
Yeah. And apparently in 1394 in France, a pig was sentenced to death for having sacrilegiously eaten a consecrated wafer.
What's that?
It's like, you know, when you go into, if you have like Jesus's mass or something.
Body.
Yeah, you get given the body. Yeah, so it like ate a shitty bit of wafer.
Yeah.
That probably shouldn't say a shitty bit of wafer if there's any Catholics listening. but yeah. but yeah, that was what he was sentenced to death for. So it didn't even have to be that serious, the crimes that...
Like... These people are chasing the wrong solution to their problems. So, like, pigs are kind of dangerous. It's what Sarah was saying earlier. Like, boars, you know, like, they'll eat people. Like, we know this. So these civilization here, instead of, like, making everything safe, they're letting them roam around, but then taking them to court as if that's...
I know.
Like, why don't you just solve that problem without, you know, you could stop it happening? It's crazy. I know,
it is utterly bonkers, and it just gets weirder. The most in-depth text about criminal animals is a book from 1906 written by E.P. Evans called The Criminal Prosecution and Capital Punishment of Animals. In the book, he lists over 200 cases of animals being found guilty of crimes. So there was bulls, there were horses, eels, dogs.
Wow, this ain't real.
This is insane.
It's utterly
What's an eel done to you?
Yeah.
It was slimy.
No one trusts eels, but come on. What's it actually done?
Did the eel have to go to court? Did they have a tank?
Have tanks. What are they doing?
I know. I think the eel was hung, which makes you think, where is its neck? Where is its neck?
These people needed Netflix.
And I'm sounding so callous towards animals, which I worry about because I'm I just don't have the willpower to be a vegan, or I would be. But
I also don't have the willpower to care enough about historical death. Like, this is outrageous. I'm so outraged. But also, what even is this?
I know. Sometimes when I watch an old movie and there's a dog in it, I always look at it and I'm just like, he's dead now. It just makes me really sad. If a film's more than 7 years old, the dog is always dead.
They would have shot it as soon as they said cut. Bang. I've used you now. I'll see you later. Well, yeah, but seriously, they are like putting so much attention on these animals, committing crimes. It's the whole reason why the church got away with so much. Because it's like they're just putting it all on the animals, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, this is a thing. What were they kind of...
Is this where scapegoats comes from?
Oh, could be. I don't know. I actually genuinely looked up kangaroo court because suddenly I was like, wait, and it doesn't mean that at all.
What is that? What's kangaroo court?
Kangaroo court is just like
court in a pub.
Yeah, yeah. And it's called kangaroo court because people are like jumping to conclusions a lot.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's when you just like your friends decide if somebody's guilty, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it means? Because I didn't know that until I came over here.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's what that is. It's not a bunch of kangaroos in wigs.
That's a shame. That's a letdown.
So we mentioned dolphins earlier, and there was mention of a case with a dolphin.
Leave the fucking dolphins alone.
What did a dolphin do? What did a dolphin do?
That's my question for you. What did a dolphin do?
Oh, did it laugh? Is that a crime?
Laughed at someone on the beach and is like the mayor in his speedo.
Yeah. To be fair, dolphins do rape each other, but I feel like that wasn't the crime.
There's so many things that I can't say in response to that. Did it ruin Leo DiCaprio's delivery of a line?
Wait, in Titanic?
Yeah, it's a Titanic joke for you there, Hannah Joyce. Yeah. It's for you.
Sarah, any ideas what a dolphin could have done to...
What do they do? Stole fish?
Stole some fish.
Oh, that's good, actually, because that's the only thing it could have possibly... Like, seriously, dolphins are really helpful. They would, like, help ships that got lost.
I think it was like a white-collar crime.
If you can find a problem with a dolphin, you are looking hard to find a problem with a dolphin.
Oh, wouldn't it be like a twist if it was because they got caught in a fishing net? Like, now we try to avoid that, but then they're like, you're going to court, buddy.
Oh, yeah, you got caught in my net, and then you ate some of my fish.
Yeah.
Do you know what, guys? I feel like I've led you up the garden path because actually we don't know. We just know that they were tried and executed in Marseille in 1596.
Oh, fuck you, Marseille.
I know, and that's crazy.
were the bulk of these trials in France? I'm getting that feeling. Like, I know you said Europe, but there's a whole lot of France in here.
I know. Maybe it was just the things that I were looking at, or maybe they've just got good sort of history of these things. Like, they've actually written stuff down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's loads that I imagine this happened much more than we sort of know. But yeah, there were the 200 cases in this book. Also, so rats were taken to court for essentially being rats. So if they infested your house, they would be taken to court. And what do you think the punishment was for a rat if found guilty of infesting your house?
Cut his tail off.
That's
tail
good.
Off. Yeah, I was thinking, like, did they pull their teeth out so they can't chew their food?
Oh, cut their whiskers off. Because then they can't move about in it and get in small holes because they don't know the size of shit.
Yeah, that's how they measure it. Yeah.
We're almost too good at this, Sarah.
It's going to be they hung them again, isn't it? Yeah. With tiny nooses.
Do you know what? It's not, because I thought I'd drown them. No, I thought I'd mix it up a little bit. And also, you know, this is actually quite, like you say, it's quite a horrible case, or a horrible thing. But what they would do for rats, they would be sent a friendly letter of advice and an order to quit any house in which their presence is deemed undesirable. Literally, they would write them a letter. It would be like a letter. I mean, genuinely,
rats,
I know this
are
sounds...
getting a fucking letter. Nah. And dolphins and pigs are being hung and shit. Why are they writing letters to rats who can't read? What the fuck?
I know, it's genuinely like, it's one of those ones that I read stuff about this and I was like, wait, I think this might be like a wind up. And then the more you read, you're like, no.
Oh my God, have we all been had?
No, it's not, because it's definitely historically accurate. And there was quite a famous rat case where the rats were accused of feloniously eating up and wantonly destroying the barley crop of a village.
Yeah, the rat pack. I know this one.
And the public defender for the rats was a guy called Bartholomew Chassene, who also defended a murderous pig in his time, which was made into a movie by BBC Films in 1993. So who do you think played Bartholomew in this movie, the rat lawyer?
Hang on, so they actually had defense lawyers.
Richard E. Grant's a good guess. He's a big name now.
What year was that again?
1993. Started his career. He was like the sexy lawyer that defended a pig.
Oh, boy.
And it's so funny. If you watch it, I can't remember what the film was called. It's called In Defense of Pigs or something. It's called something. And you watch the trailer and when they re-released it in America, they don't actually reveal it's a fucking pig because they're just like, people aren't going to watch this film if they know he's representing a pig. So the whole premise of the film.
But that means people should not be watching the film. If they know that, why did they make the film?
That's a good question.
I hope it's Danny Dyer, but I don't even know how old he is. That's probably before his time.
He would have been too young in 93.
Okay.
He was like
Kevin
18.
Costner,
so.
Kevin Costner? That's another good guess. We got Kevin Costner. We got Richard E. Grant.
But
Taylor.
It's BBC, right?
BBC Films.
Who would have had to do that job in 93?
I mean, I'll give you a clue. Pretty sexy. Turns up in Bridget Jones's Diary.
Oh, Hugh Grant.
Not Colin Firth.
Colin Firth.
Oh my God.
Wow.
It's so funny. So Colin's character, Bartholomew, defended the rats. The film isn't about the rats, but the rats I find a more interesting case. And he argued that they shouldn't physically be summoned to the court and they shouldn't be executed. And they should be excused on the ground of the length and difficulty of the journey from the barley field to the court. What do you think he argued was their biggest risk in taking the trip to the courthouse?
Cats?
Why
are we even having this conversation?
Katie hates this episode so much.
I'm so sorry. I'm bad at hiding.
Do you know what I keep picturing is, because in every like courtroom drama, there's always the shot, like when somebody's finally making you see the defendant is human and there's a shot of their face. So I just keep picturing like the rat.
It's a really sweet rat.
Looking in the middle distance.
Like the Ratatouille rat.
I was only being a rat.
This is pre-plague, right?
Ooh, I'm not sure at what point this was.
So this is bad PR for rats anyway.
Yeah.
How soon after this did Colin Firth do Pride and Prejudice?
It can't have been that much because he looked quite similar. He looked that sort of young, buoyant Firth, as it were.
So this was his audition tape for Pride and Prejudice.
Could well have been.
I guess the risk to them staying safe from point A to point B is just that people must have just killed rats.
Okay, people. So we got cats, people.
I don't know how they're transporting them, though. Like, surely they get a lift on a carriage or whatever, right?
Sarah, a wheelbarrow,
what's at least.
What's the biggest risk to rats in order to get to the courthouse?
If it's like olden days, then I would say like maybe like getting squished under a cart.
A cart?
Yeah.
A wheel.
Well, I will tell you, and Katie Wilkins is right. It was cats. So he says, and I quote, owing to the unwearied vigilance of their mortal enemies, cats, who watched all of their movements and, with fell intent, lay in wait for them at every corner and passage. I mean, that's just fucking nuts.
Oh, it's so mad.
We're supposed to have empathy for rats.
Because they've got these enemies, cats, who will just...
What year is this case from?
Do you know what? I think it's probably around the 14th or 15th century. It's quite...
So, like, not to change tone too much, but, like, slavery exists.
Right.
And this guy's defending rats.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it is bonkers. It's like what Sarah said, though, about, like, so why are they doing this? Because it's, I mean, there was a thing that I was going to say at the end, but I could bring it forward. Because
I think if you humanize them, you're sort of pretending that they're unequal par.
Mm-hmm. I just can't get my head around them writing letters.
I know, literally, and also they'd give them a specific time that they'd have to leave. It would be like by 3 o'clock.
I genuinely think a lot of this was just people didn't have much to do. Like, I feel like this was kind of like installation theater in a way, wasn't it? Because people must have gone to the animal trials, right? Like, they sat there, spectators. This is just for the people to watch, isn't it?
No, but as if there wasn't enough, like, men killing women throughout the entirety of history.
But it's like porn, Hannah. Like, you start with the vanilla kind, and then you're like, I'm so bored of this. I need some dolphins.
And so I'll just read you. This is just a little excerpt from, in 1994, NYU Law Review. That's really hard to say, the NYU Law Review, by a lawyer called Paul Schiff Berman. He says that trials of animals and inanimate objects, because we're coming to that, allow the community to domesticate chaos by providing a consensus explanation of social reality to replace what would otherwise seem to be frightening or uncontrollable activity. Chaotic and painful events are thus brought under human jurisdiction and control through the construction of a narrative that reflects the moral values of the community.
Scapegoats.
Well, yeah, it's kind of interesting that if you know, if a baby is killed by a pig, people want justice. And by hanging the pig or killing the pig, that's what they did. So that's sort of why, well, he sort of like thinks
this existed.
Well, you
know, all they needed was health and safety. They didn't need...
Yeah. Exactly.
Some mouse traps, some rat traps.
Yeah.
It's just what humans are all about, though. It's still what we do today. Like, everything's about giving me the illusion of control because I know I have none.
And this fixing is, so the symptom, actually, not the cause.
Yeah, that actually makes perfect weird sense because we're all control freaks.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting. We always have been. So actually, we talked about the rooster earlier, and in 1474, the magistrates of Bale, B-A-L-E, in France, sentenced a cockerel to be burnt at the stake. That's a rotisserie, isn't it, essentially?
You say you don't really need the steak.
Yeah,
the steak is... They're like, we did it with Joan. We'll do it for the cockerel.
They burn a cockerel at the stake for the heinous and unnatural crime of, insert answers here,
shouting too early in the morning.
It was your middle class mum friend.
It was. Yeah. This is what she wanted to do, but they talked her down.
Taylor, any thoughts? What could a cockerel have done to justify this?
Well, I think they can be pretty aggressive, so maybe they attacked the farmer.
Ooh, maybe they peck someone's eye out.
Yeah, something like that.
Or like crops or something.
Some crops like the rats. It was because it was the heinous and unnatural crime of laying an egg.
This is ridiculous.
So
it was the chicken. Proof that the it was just sitting on an egg? It like
oh of course, god, yeah. It was just a chicken who had sort of a hat. This is so.
Or he was so just sad. Like a really good feminist.
Yeah, and he was keeping the egg warm. But yeah, it literally, it's so funny, isn't it?
Penguins share. Why can't chickens? Mm.
Exactly. And just, yeah, I think it's because of superstition and, you know, the townspeople at that time were convinced that this cockerel was just spawned by Satan. We did that case, didn't we, with Jenny and Claire.
For these people.
I know, it's mad. It's like, there's something to do with chickens as well, always seems to get people. So that happened in France, but let's bring things slightly closer to home and go to Hartlepool in England. Has anyone ever been to Hartlepool?
Yes.
Do you know what they call people from Hartlepool? There's a nickname.
Hartlepoolians?
Hartlepoolians. I'll tell you in a minute. So basically, we're in Hartlepool, England, during the Napoleonic Wars, and a French ship was shipwrecked in a storm off the coast of Hartlepool. And there was but one survivor, and this survivor was non-human. What do you think it was?
A cockerel?
A cockerel.
Okay, what would be on a ship in the first place? A dog.
A dog? Ship dog?
Ship dog. They call them ship dogs. I love Hartlepool. Ship dogs.
Sarah?
I think a cat.
A cat, a ship's cat, for all the rats and stuff. That makes sense because they're mortal enemies. But it was a monkey. Allegedly dressed in a French army uniform. So why do you think they had a monkey dressed in an army uniform on board a ship?
Was he in charge? Sarah, what did you say?
Just for banter, innit?
it feels a little bit like that.
I think it was like because like in case they got like raided, then they could make out, oh, this is just another one of our shipmates. He's just a bit small.
Okay. Yeah, do you know what? You were right.
You'll
the
have
first
to
time.
Speak to our superior officer about this.
So what? Literally, it was banter. It was providing amusement for the crew.
Yeah.
They were like, you're in the Napoleonic Wars. Let's get you a monkey. Let's dress him up.
Keep morale up.
Exactly.
Ha ha. And then they all died, but he survived, which is kind of great.
Yeah, he survived. And so the people of Hartlepool found the monkey on the beach and the locals decided to hold an impromptu trial. So this is like a kangaroo court.
Of course they fucking did. Jesus Christ.
And since the monkey was unable to answer their questions and because they had
seen... Because he only spoke French, not that he was a monkey.
But also this line killed me. It really made me laugh. It said that... Since the monkey was unable to answer their questions, and because they had seen neither a monkey nor a Frenchman before, they concluded the monkey must be a French spy.
Oh, okay. Like sometimes, honestly, when you go back far enough, I have to remember they had never seen this animal before. Mm-hmm. It is hard to get your head around that, isn't it? And especially if it's like dressed properly. Yeah, that would throw you off, I guess.
Yeah, so... Do you think he was found guilty of being a spy, this monkey?
Sounds probably. Like,
yeah.
Mm. I'll be amazed if he's not.
Did they write him a letter?
Yeah.
Do you know what?
He refused to read.
he was found guilty and he was sentenced to death. And
how
that's
did
why
they kill this poor fucking monkey?
They killed the monkey and that's why...
How?
And by hanging. Death by
these,
hanging.
That's right, the okay. thing, these animals, that none of them actually are found not guilty. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Because they can't fucking speak or defend themselves.
What's the stats on that?
There's a bit of a common theme here, Sarah, isn't there?
Yeah. Who got off of the animal kingdom in these stories?
Yeah, I mean, probably just the fanciest animals. I bet fucking peacocks got off, didn't they?
Did the rats get off when Colin Firth did his chat?
I don't know about the rats, and I don't know about the pig either. You're going to have to watch the movie.
Damn.
But do we have to watch the movie?
I wouldn't.
It would be great if, like, the first celebrity defense attorney was spawned from all this, though. Like, you just want your John Grisham moment with the guy who
Judge
finally
Judy.
Gets through to everybody.
Judge Judy. So people in Hartlepool.
Shut up, you rooster! I like the Judge Judy version.
Let him talk.
I'm talking. This is my court. a fucking pig. She doesn't say fucking, but she would if she could.
Oh, man, I used to watch so much Judge Judy. Did you? I just went through a phase, and it's always a phase. It's never something you dip in and out of. I went for 4 solid months of only watching Judge Judy.
Yeah.
So just to sort of like round off this slightly crazy history of animals going to court, we're going to make it a bit weirder. So as well as humans and animals going to court, I kind of gave it away when I read the last bit first, but basically inanimate objects were able to go to court.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are they hanging chairs now?
So if we go back to ancient Greece, there was a statue accused of murder. The statue was of a boxer who had become something of a celebrity, and he was rumoured to have been the son of Hercules.
This is different if it's like a spiritual story behind it with a belief of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've completely misinterpreted. All the animal stuff is that too, I guess.
Oh, what, that they believe?
Oh, shut the fuck up. I'm so sorry. Continue.
No, but basically it was this boxer and he was in the Olympic Games, but he had quite a few rivals. And then when he died, they made a bronze statue of him. And one of his rivals would visit the statue each night and flog it out of some weird kind of revenge. But one night something happened. What do you think happened?
The statue fell on him. He was crushed to death.
Ding, 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 ding,
and
ding.
He 100% deserved it. Like, let it go. Yeah. He's gone.
So, yeah. So it fell on the guy killing him. And the son prosecuted the statue itself for killing his father. And Greek courts believed that any murder needed to be punished. And so the son's won. It was found guilty. How do you think the statue was punished, considering, you know, it can't be killed?
Melted,
nice.
Did they get one of those artists in? Like, this keeps happening in Spain. They're like, we're going to renew this artwork. And then they bring in some dickhead who, like, paints the smiley face on it. So they just painted it really ugly.
I'm really ugly, Sarah.
Thrown in the canal.
Do you know what? You were spot on.
Hey!
Yeah, they said they gave it back to the gods by tossing it in sea.
There you go.
They got in the fucking
sea. Learned his lesson. He won't be doing that again, will he?
Yeah.
Katie, what are you drinking? Did you just open whiskey?
No, I just poured more wine that I don't need into a glass.
All wine is wine you don't need, but really, we all need it. Well, that's a good time to just say cheers, because that comes to the end of our story. But I guess here's to animals not going to court anymore. Cheers. Yes.
And humans who do not deserve to live.
Drunk women solving crime.
So someone has written to us, and actually, do you know what? There's been a bit of a downer this episode, because this is actually quite a sad one. It's happened in lockdown. So here we go. Dear drunk women, me and my boyfriend have been the victims of a crime. We made the decision to get a puppy during lockdown, as I'm now working from home full time. And so I have a lot of time to spend training, and my partner works away. So it was lovely to have a bit of company. We did loads and loads of research into different breeds, etc., and finally found an advert online for a new litter. We got in contact with the breeder via text and WhatsApp, who seemed really lovely and helpful. They sent photos of the puppies for us to choose. Oh God, you know where this is going, don't you? The one we want.
And then hanging?
Yeah. Oh God. No, it's not as bad as all the puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Do you know what? This isn't as bad anymore.
Thank
you.
Exactly. Funny, and then that's it.
So they said in normal times before Corona fucked it all, we'd wanted to have seen the puppy and the puppy breeders face to face. But because of everything that was going on, we'd seen online a few things saying that breeders were a caution of letting loads of people into their house, and because it was lockdown, the breeders wouldn't have anyone over.
Oh,
so
nuts.
They were just sending photos and doing FaceTimes, which is interesting.
Wow.
So my dog just sneezed. Was that loud?
Oh, was that your dog?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
She just really sneezed. She's
oh, guys.
Next to me.
Can I have a bit of attention? This must have been really triggering for her, all this animal stuff. I'm sorry.
She can't hear you guys because I've got the headphones.
Oh, okay. But so they chose a puppy, the deposit was paid, and they were given an address and agreed date and time to pick up. So after the deposit was paid, they stayed in contact. They asked what sort of food they were giving the puppies so they could get the same things, stuff like that.
Oh, man.
I know. On the day of picking the puppy up, we
what
had
was the deposit? Do we have a figure?
We have a figure. £300.
Okay. Oh, fuck.
On the day of,
cheaper at Battersea, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the day of picking up the puppy, we had a 2.5-hour drive ahead of us. I sent a message to let them know we were on our way and excited. I got a response just saying the words, please don't. I replied saying that would they rather a different time? And they never read my message, stopped showing they were online on WhatsApp. By this point, we were already 45 minutes into the drive and we both decided to carry on in case they were busy with the puppies.
Right.
They had an immediate sinking feeling, but tried to stay positive. We turned up at the address for the door to be opened by an elderly man saying it's bad news. They've been scammed and they were number 14 of people coming to collect the puppy from his door that day.
Oh, that poor old guy. Oh, I feel bad for you. Oh,
I know.
Proper nasty scam.
That's a very bad scam.
It's horrible, isn't it? And I thought I'd choose it and sort of like talk about it because actually, if anybody is, you know, looking to get a puppy during lockdown and whatnot, be very aware of, try and
transfer a deposit.
Yeah, try and meet that puppy beforehand. Because what I expect happened here is if they did FaceTimes and stuff, I imagine maybe they did have some puppies. If you see what I mean.
And then
so
where
I imagine,
the fuck are they now? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess. I worry about all this because the headlines have all been coming up, like everybody's buying a dog under lockdown. And you worry about it on every level because it means that breeders are like breeding new puppies, which the world does not need. I know. Now I'm on the girl who just told you how to make bacon is now on a high horse about puppy breeding. But you know what
life
I mean?
Life is like, complicated. It's okay.
Life's complicated. But yeah, I bet there are so many people capitalizing on everybody's lockdown. I want a puppy. I want a fuzzy thing.
But I know it's like in Joanne's episode, Joanne McNally, she was scammed online for gym equipment at the beginning of lockdown. So it's like people are looking at what we wanted from lockdown.
Yeah,
and we're
yeah.
How do we scam?
Yeah.
So what advice can we give these people, guys? We're here as therapists as well as detectives.
Well, I think if you're taking a puppy from someone, like, it sounds fair enough. They don't want loads of people in their house. But ultimately, if you've said you want a puppy and you wear a mask, you're going to be getting bear germs anyway. I feel like you kind of should be able to see that puppy in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, try and go to their house. Try and actually meet them. And if not, then, yeah, go to a shelter, innit?
Yes.
Like, why would you just don't shelter. Buy a fucking dog? Just like, just get a life and just do something else. Or get hamsters. Easier, they're cheaper.
Start small. If you like the hamster, then think about a dog. Like, Battersea is really great. Like, you can get cats and dogs there. And they,
do you
like
work for Battersea?
I don't work for Battersea, but I did get my cats from Battersea. And you walk in there and you go, look, I've got kids. I've got this. I've got that. I need a dog that's happy or a cat that's happy with dogs. I need a dog that's happy with cats. I need them to be happy with, I need to be safe, blah, blah, blah.
They're a dating agency, basically.
And then, and they won't even, like, because when we first went to, like, the cat bit and we walked in, like, you'd go to see these cats. There'd be a sign on the door of the cat's room saying, hello, my name is Alan. My owner died. I hate children. And you'd be like, okay, that's not the cat for me. I've got children here. Like,
who would let someone else write their dating profile? Because that's essentially it.
But it'd
be so fucking truthful.
Because that cat is perfect for an old lady. Do you know what I mean?
I'm a bad listener. I'm mediocre in bed. I make a great spag bol. Do you want me?
But find the right animal for the right family or for the right person. So if you're like, I need a cat competent dog, you tell them. They won't give you the shit one. You're like, they want everyone to be happy. They want everyone to be safe.
Yeah.
You're not going to be coming back or leaving that animal by the side of a road or whatever the fuck people do.
Yeah. And if you're unhappy with whatever you adopt, you take them to court.
Yeah.
Well, I hope, Charlotte, I hope that helps. You sent us that letter. And I'm really sorry that happened to you because that is really like...
Yeah, that sucks.
It really does. Because getting a puppy, like, that's such a big commitment, isn't it? And, you know...
But also, I'm not judging because I completely get the appeal of puppies too. But, like, you can get a young dog. You can get a really happy, easily, possibly already trained dog from Battersea that will be just so happy and grateful to have a home. And it will do whatever you tell it to do and it will love
you so much. Katie, where did you get your dog?
Okay, this dog is not from Battersea.
What a stitch up, Taylor.
I don't mind telling you the whole story. If I mean, I need a wee. No one wants to hear the story. Okay, but
worry.
Basically, my mum's friend at the gym, her dog
it's
had a holiday fling
the dog, not
and
friend
got
of the dog.
Accidentally pregnant with the holiday dog. And then they had these puppies that they had to get rid of. And then we were about to go to Battersea when suddenly there were these puppies. And then we were like, okay, well, I guess we'll do that. But we would have gone to Battersea.
A dog having a holiday romance is just, that's the
that's
best.
That's depressing as hell. I can't even get a romance. Dogs having holiday romances.
Oh my God. Well, that's a beautiful.
Summer day, drifting away.
On a summer night. Anyway, it just leaves us time. Sarah, tell us what you're up to. Where can people sort of find you online and like tell us everything if you want them to. If you don't, then like
yeah, tell them to fuck off, whatever you want, Sarah.
Well, yeah, I'm not really gigging too much these days because of like corona, innit, but you can find me on Instagram at @scallahan1. I've got a new book coming out as well, so you can find all the details.
Tell us about your book.
Tell us about it.
It's a poetry book. It's the third one in a trilogy that I've done. It's
awesome.
Called Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain. And yeah, it's going to be out in mid-October. So
awesome.
That's probably the only thing I can sell. And when I'm gigging again, then I will.
That. And like we can get it on Amazon and we can get it in all the regular places.
Just DM me for the details and I will send you.
Awesome. What are the first two books in the trilogy called? So we can start from the beginning.
The first one's called The Ballads. And the second one is called From Ashes We Rise.
Fantastic.
Do you know, I think the one I have is called The Ballad, I think. Because so have you done 2 and 3 in the last, because I came to your Edinburgh show, which was amazing. It was brilliant.
Oh, thanks.
And that was last year. And then I got your book. So would that have been number one? Have you done like
So amazing. I did that in 2018. And then the last one was last November it came out. And then,
the
third one this year.
Cool. Oh, well, it's brilliant. So, yeah, check that out.
Thanks.
Follow Sarah on everything. And I hope this episode hasn't been too horrible for everyone. So thank you so much for joining us, Sarah Callahan.
Thanks, yay! Sarah.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter @DrunkWomenPod and Facebook and Instagram @DrunkWomenSolvingCrime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.